In the mind's eye, according to the teaching of the Bible, carry yourself back to the Genesis of all things. Of course, we have that first book of the Bible known as Genesis, which means origins. And we find therein the great creation of all things by the Creator, Jehovah God Almighty. In Genesis 1 and verse 31, the Scripture reads, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." Think about that for a moment. All of the universe, all of the solar system, all of the various planets, the earth, the moon, the plants, the trees, everything, all the animals, all was very good. He spake then unto the Holy Spirit, that is the Father, spake of the Holy Spirit unto the Son. And He said in Genesis 1 and verse 26, "Let us make man in our image." And then, of course, man was created from the dust of the earth. The sixth day, if you please, was drawing to a close. God, as we look at it from a human perspective, surveyed all His labor. He saw the perfect nature He had created. He saw Adam, whom He had created, whom He had placed in the garden to tend it. All seemed complete. When Adam had finished naming all the creatures that God had brought before him, yet all was not yet accomplished. And there was something lacking as far as the man Adam was concerned. Something lacking. And in chapter 2, verse 18, where you have a repeat of the creation that is in general way given to us in chapter 1, but more specifically in detail, chapter 2. "And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Genesis chapter 2 again, verse 18. Many times today we'll say, "Woman's help meet." That's not saying it right. That's the reason I paused and said, what God said as Moses by inspiration recorded it, "I will make him an help meet for him. I will make him a help suitable for him." There were all sorts of things there in the creation that could be a help to him, but not one suitable to him like man. So the woman is a help that is suitable to him. And of course we know the account of woman being created from a rib in man's side, in Adam's side. She came into existence. She came into being. I think John Milton's words in his book, Paradise Lost, catch just a glimpse, as far as human language is concerned, non-inspired human language, of the beauty of this creation. Milton wrote, "Under his forming hands a creature grew, man-like but different sex, so lovely fair, that what seemed fair in all the world seemed now mean, or in her summed up, in her contained, and in her looks. Grace was in all her steps, heaven in her eye, in every gesture, dignity and love." May I pause and say this? Is that the view the world has of woman today, and is that the way women try to present themselves? Now, everything which God created was good, yet there is only one creation. One. Just one creation for which God saw a specific need and created just to fulfill that need. And this is the great blessing that He passed on to woman. It is a humbling thing, and it should be a humbling thing for every female, since she and she alone was created because God saw the necessity of it. Now, man was to be the head of all creation. That's just what God did and the way He set it up. But woman was given the opportunity, and use human terminology, to crown that head. Not only was woman created to fill a specific need, But have you ever wondered why God, since God just doesn't do something for the sake of doing it, why God made her of the rib of man? Yes, indeed, for the fact of the matter is it's finer material than that of man. Man was formed of the dust of the earth. That's not the case with woman. She was made from part of Adam's body. Again, do you ever ponder these simple statements in the Bible? Wonder why, since you know for a fact God just doesn't do things for the sake of doing it. There's a reason for it. Woman was formed from man to show her unity with him as a part of himself. I hope in our study this morning, as well as other studies, we'll begin to see from this comment and others like it as we search the Scriptures on this matter of how this has to do with marriage. Woman was formed from man then to show her oneness or unity with him as a part of himself. When a man and woman are married, God says they become one flesh. Woman was taken from man. Woman was fashioned from a part of man, not from some unrelated matter. Because she was made from him, woman has a right, underscore that word right, a right to man's love and man's protection. Because, as Adam says, she was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Adam knew her. Adam knew what a gift she was. Adam knew why she was created. Adam knew he must love her. Now over in the New Testament of Jesus Christ, in Acts 17 and verse 26, Luke testifies that from one blood, or flesh, if you please, God created all mankind. Now this too then would give an added reason for a woman to be made from man instead of the dust of the ground. There's no comfort if you think about the implications of these biblical truths. No comfort whatsoever found in them for the evolutionists. Do you realize that the evolutionist has a tough time trying to figure out where the female of the species came from? He has a terrible time with it. When Adam awoke and saw the being God had given him, he himself named her. He called her woman. Literally, this means from man. Or as it is sometimes, man with a womb. Womb, man, woman. Her creation signified the very closeness and intimacy of these two. For as one ancient writer penned, she was made from a rib taken from his side, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him. She occupies a unique place. She was made out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm, to be protected, and near his heart, if you please, to be loved. So man tries to explain the situation as far as woman is concerned. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now I realize in our long years of women's lib and feminism and all of the other worldly junk that comes along, as well as men not knowing why a woman exists nor treating her like God said she ought to exist, or for not even knowledgeable of the fact that she was created by God as a help suitable to him and knowing how to react, I know that such terminology from the Holy Spirit is bitter in the mouths of a great many people, but it doesn't change the will of God for the design and the purpose that he put woman on this earth. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. God created woman. Again, not inferior to man, but equal to him. Now, some people have a terribly, terribly hard time of understanding how somebody can be in a subservient role or a different role and still be equal. I don't know why they do that. In every phase of life, there are folks who have positions that are subservient to other folks in other positions, and has not one thing in the world to do with equality. And yet, in the matter of man and woman, because the woman was made for the man and not the man for the woman, people are ready to fight God up one side and down the other. Well, I can tell you he's going to lose, so accept the truth and realize that you can be in a subservient position and not be in any form or fashion inferior. That's just a lie of the devil to make such a comment as that. There's not a one of us that are not subservient to somebody else. Think of your own jobs. Does that mean you're not equal to that person as a person? No. In fact, have you ever thought about angels and archangels? Do you know why there's the term archangel? Archangel means that even in heaven, in that spiritually created host of messengers, there are some who are in positions of authority over others. Angels. The need, as God saw it, was for a help that is unique, a help that's special for the man. Woman was created as a help suitable, as I said, for man. Suitable in that she fitted his needs physically and emotionally. Brethren, can I stop here again and say, did this begin to tell you why homosexuality is such a rank and terrible sin? It's trying to say God did not know what he was doing when he made woman. Her position was equal in level of importance with Adam. But the sphere in which she was to move was different. There's where the rub is. You ever seen people on a job or somewhere? They never are happy to do the work their job requires of them. They always want to do somebody else's work. Many times they don't know what in the world that other work is, but they're not happy to work in the sphere that they're employed to work in. That's what's happening today when it comes to woman and wife and mother. Woman has been redefined. Wife and mother are bad words. They're not politically correct. You don't hear them defined. Oh, they use them, but they don't define them in the way the Bible does. God didn't intend for a woman to be degraded or lowered to slavery. Oh, has it happened? You better believe it has. But the abuse of a thing does not mean you have a right to rebel against the standard itself and the right of it. There was a place for her to fill just as Adam had his position or sphere of life. And as long as sin was not in the world, Adam and his wife Eve lived in peace and harmony and love and joy because God's will was done completely. They walked in communion with God, each one filling the place for which he and she were created. But of course, we know what happens. There's the great fall of man through sin. We're able to see that some of the characteristics with which God endowed woman when he created her, when she abused them, would plunge the whole of mankind into sin. Do you think that the devil did not know what he was doing when he approached Eve directly and not Adam? Don't you think that the devil knew the makeup of woman and the caliber person she was and the relationship she had to Adam? And that's the reason that he approached her. Don't you know that Adam was after the head of the race? But he knew whom he could go through to get to the head of the race. So when temptation came to humanity, it came to the female first. Is that by just accident? Only two people in all the world, male and female. God's account of this scene describes a serpent as more subtle than any beast he had made. And so, Satan took that form. From all accounts we can get, what the serpent was before he was cursed by God is totally different from what we think of as a serpent today. And using his wily craftiness, then he approached the woman directly instead of Adam. And it would seem from the study of the Scriptures that woman was to be more easily tempted than man. That may be a bad word, but that doesn't change what your Bible says. Do you believe your Bible? She became a rationalizer at that moment in the garden. And so many times she continues to be that way right on down through the ages. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now you say, yes, but he sinned too. That's true, but you will never find, listen to me, you'll never find anywhere in the Bible that it says that Adam was tempted. He went into it with his eyes wide open. Now you say, well, I don't know so much about that. Well, read your whole Bible. Ain't there, folks. In fact, you have right the opposite. The inspired apostle Paul said to the young preacher Timothy concerning why women should not be allowed to exercise dominion over a man. Listen, and Adam was not deceived. Now, was he or wasn't? And Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's not trying to make women feel bad. It's trying to say that when the man or the woman steps out of the allotted place God put them, there's trouble on the mountain or in the valley or anywhere else. It means that women ought to know, and so should men, the particular capacities of each and the dependence that ought to be there upon one another as each helps the other be what God wants them to be. You know where Adam failed? He failed in his headship. He just took whatever she put out there and ate it. That's exactly where the problem is. And if you will look at the workings of a woman as God made her, and the appeal that she has to the man, and the need she fulfills to the man, then it's no wonder when she goes wrong why she can twist men around her little finger. Wonder where that came from, brethren. I know that in the Lord's church we say where the Bible speaks, we speak, and where the Bible's silent, we're silent. But I'm not so sure that this female move in the last 30 and 40 years has made some of us just a little squeamish on the truth of the Bible regarding the design of God and the purpose of God for a woman, wife, and mother. And of course, since a man preaches these things, then immediately somebody says, that's just an old man talking. No. God said, and it's in your Bible if you never heard a man preach ever in your life. I want to make another bold statement. Woman needs man, a man who's what God says he ought to be her head. Now, if you missed it the first time, listen up, and I hope it's being recorded so you can go back and listen. Woman needs man. Well, a man's what the Bible says he ought to be her head. Now, when you leave here today, you say, I don't like what that preacher said. I don't care what you like about that. I care what the Bible says about it. This is not ruling out that some men aren't a sorry lot. There's a whole host of them that are a sorry lot. It doesn't change the Bible teaching on the matter. The abuse of a thing doesn't change the divine standard. It just doesn't. And if I'm going to preach the plan of salvation, when most of the world doesn't believe it nor will it teach it, because it's right, whether people believe it or not, that I'm going to teach the truth on man and woman, husband and wife, father and mother, and children. Don't think, brethren and friends, that we haven't in the church felt the impact of 30 or 40 or however many years, especially the last 30 years, of the women's liberation and feminist movement. I even like one of their phrases. Remember this phrase? I'm woman, I'm in your face. I like the latter part of that. But I'm man, and I'm in your face only from this standpoint. If any man speak, any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's all I can speak. I have no authority to speak anything else. And you shouldn't want to follow anything else other than that. But she became a rationalizer. Maybe she reasoned like this. Well, see how beautiful this fruit is? Now, I want you to think about women shopping in the mall. Well, you know, certainly God would not want me to hold something like that from us. Of course, just substitute husband for God, and you got it in the mall again. Or perhaps, if we become wise like God, we can do a lot of good. You can go on and on. Does that mean man does not rationalize? It does not mean that. It means in this given case, the Bible says, the devil approached the woman directly and tempted her to get to the man. And the Bible says he wasn't deceived in the temptation. He just simply took from she who was deceived and ate and sinned. That's what it amounts to. It also tells the women, what a great influence for good or for bad you have over your husband or man in general. Strongest of all must have been the thought that God would not make them suffer the consequences of just eating the fruit. That still seems to be the big thing. Nothing will happen to you for violating God's will. Now think about that for a moment, and that hits everybody. She had rationalized herself into believing that she could disobey God and still not have to pay the penalty. She believed a lie. She ate of the fruit, she thereby sinned. Woman made the first move toward Satan. And though he was headed for man, he reached Adam through his wife Eve. Woman took the action which released the terribleness of sin into the world. Hers is the responsibility, and nothing releases her from this guilt. How sad it is when we view things today, when we view woman now. Come a long way. From a state of her perfection, her foolishness has brought her and her husband to be separated from God Almighty. How sad it would be if we had to go off and leave womankind at this point. We're just simply stating the truth of the matter as to how sin got in the world and how it all worked and who was deceived. A woman had sinned. She had caused her husband to sin. They were separated from God. But just as God Almighty had loved His creatures in the beginning, He loved them still. And it's a story that never grows old. This is not to say, I emphasize again, that man hasn't loused it up. We're just noting what the Bible says regarding how it all originally happened. Man must pay, man and woman must pay the penalty for disobedience. Adam and Eve had to pay the penalty for disobedience. But even in their punishment, He comforted them with a balm of promises and with a distant fulfillment that a Redeemer for sin would come. When you look at Genesis 3, 14 through 19, the Scripture reads, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, that is, hate, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Consider with me. Unto the woman He said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now let's stop there before we read the rest of it. Why did God say this to the woman? What have we already studied from the book Divine? Why did He say this? She had believed she could do these things and not receive punishment. Every time a woman goes into labor, verse 16 comes out. And unto Adam He said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Now, brethren, sometimes we joke. I hope it's joking. About man being the head and his wife being the neck. If we really mean that, there ought to be a guillotine around to stop some of that business. Why are you about to be punished, Adam? Because God says, thou hast listened. You paid attention. You've been influenced by. You've hearkened to the voice. You heard the words of your wife. And you ate of the tree. And then He reminds him, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Listen. Now, if you want to be mean about this, wise, you can say this. When your husband comes home in the afternoon, pooped out, slapped out, drenched in sweat or whatever, all you have to say is, you shouldn't have listened. Truth of the matter is, we laugh about it, but God's saying, Adam, you're punished because you listened to her when you should have guided her. Now, if that's not what he's saying, will you tell me what in the world words he would have to use in order to say it? And yet there are some husbands come home and they still have to undergo all this stuff. Not right. Never has been right. Won't be right. And on the other hand, to be fair about it, when there are husbands who will not strive to be what the Bible says to be the head of their house, they deserve everything they get. Every bit of it and then more. But don't you know, folks, if we follow the teaching of God regarding the design and purpose of husband and wife, that there's an effort on both parts to try to play the part and do the things God said the husband ought to be, and that's what the wife wants him to be. She's godly. And he wants her to be what a wife ought to be. And she doesn't want to be the wife husband. And he doesn't want to be the housewife. Whatever all that means. The point is, punishment is being meted out here by God, and it's been in the Bible all these years, making it clear that you did this and you must suffer that. And because you listened to her, you're going to have to go out and hit it, Jack. This is what it comes down to. All because of sin. Where have we been all our lives? These simple fifth grade level words that convey to us what happened. And yet we're hornswoggled today and deceived on every hand by these, whatever they are, whether it's in Washington or some university or whatever, trying to tell us that this is different. Well, I might as well disbelieve Acts 2 and verse number 38. To the believer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I might as well cease that. As I had to cease believing this. I didn't make it this way. This is the way it is. Talk about restoring New Testament Christianity. We need to restore husbands as God wanted them, and wives as God wanted them, and parents as God wanted them, and the family as God wanted them. And there's nothing worse than to have to fight to try to be what a husband ought to be, or a wife to be what a wife ought to be, and then parents abdicating their responsibility in controlling their children. Because you see, training and teaching and influence has to do with control of children. Woman was to bear the children. She was to do it in pain, and sorrow was to come upon her. She was now to be in subjection to man, and he was now to rule over her. Her husband's going to have to work hard for just the food they would eat. And this job would be made more difficult by the thorns and thistles. One time, Brother J.D. Tan had been dealing with a congregation, helping a congregation spread the gospel, and they had dealt with Jehovah's Witnesses, and one lady got so mad at the material that was handed to her, she came by the church office. Brother Tan, with the local preacher, was there. She came in very irate and threw the material down and began to preach a lesson. Brother Tan spoke up in his inimitable way and said, "Woman, go home to your husband." She spoke up and said, "I have you know, sir, I'm a lady." Brother Tant said, "God said he made a woman." And you have to think about that for a while, realize what that means. But it means you have to do a whole lot more sometimes to take on the definition of a lady, but God said he made a woman. The most terrifying punishment of all was then pronounced upon them. They were going to die physically. Already separated from God by sin, but going to die physically. You ever wondered how much Eve must have berated herself over getting him into all that mess? How much he must have said, "Why didn't I just do what God put me here to do?" How she must have said, "Why did I listen to the serpent? Why did I even go around him? Why did I disobey God?" Listen, upon her shoulders rested the responsibility of bringing sin on every one of us. God said something that made the load a little easier. We read it in Genesis 3:15. Now this picture is a good picture because it's the right picture. If you want to find good in that way, we need to know these things. We need to know that woman hasn't changed as far as what she is. any more than man has. Position, ability, character, personality, womankind as a whole, the same. Centuries, of course, have passed, but the basic nature of the female is still the same. Or clothing may have changed, and her moral value has been affected by customs of the day and all that, but woman still remains the same in character and behavior. That's true of man. She can change her makeup, she can change her position in life, but she cannot change what God gave woman in the beginning. It ought to be the desire of every woman and every man for the woman to be what God said she ought to be, and vice versa. Now, the question we ought to raise here is that, do you really want to be suitable for the man? As I ask that to our ladies. In His wisdom, God created woman the physical being she is. In the natural course of life, she is the only thing suited to man's physical needs. Her body is a marvelous creation. It's molded and it's fashioned by God for specific purposes. As David said of the body in general, male and female, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139, verse 14. You know, in all of this, God also gave woman the privilege of being a mother. To nothing or no one else has He accorded the privilege of bringing a living soul into the world. There's no man on earth that can grasp just what that's like. Only the mother knows. Oh, we can be happy as fathers. We can be content and rejoice. Fathers, you'll never be a mother. You never will. God gave woman the responsibility of serving others. Sometimes we fail to understand the design and purpose the New Testament brings out regarding her conduct as a Christian woman in the church. Her nature is more sympathetic. Should be. If you listen to feminists, I don't know what you call that. Her touch is more gentle and more comforting. Even the flesh of her body has more gentleness to it. Her voice is pitched normally, it's pleasing. You ever wonder why a woman's made this way? She was created to suit and serve man, not as a slave, but as a servant of love. Her first fulfillment as a mother enriches the life of service. She's made to care for the babe and the toddler and the touch of love that means security for them. As woman matures in years, she has experience with which to better serve those around her. Sick neighbor, the elderly, widows, orphans, the destitute, the lonely. All can be reached by the gentleness of woman, and so old men living hard lives upon their deathbed and deranged sometimes call for mother. They very rarely call for father. Doesn't mean they didn't love their father. It means there's association and link there that doesn't exist between a man and his father that exists between a man and his mother. God gave woman the home for her domain. I do not care how much is made light of this. That is the place God wants woman primarily and fundamentally to function. Man can go out and he can battle life and he can conquer all sorts of nations, etc., etc. He can reach heights of power. But to woman, God's given the most valuable domain of all because the basic unit of society is the home, no matter what society it is. God chose to let her build the very foundation stone of civilization. Sometimes old adages have a lot of truth to them. And thus, from this, many, many hundreds of years ago, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I'm sorry people have forgotten that, and especially sorry such is so in the church. Her nature suits her to prepare the nourishment which sustains her family. Indeed, she cleans and sews and cooks and washes and irons. And folks, if you haven't taught your young ladies to do this, you fail. Doesn't mean that's not the only thing she can do, but it means if she's going to be a mother and a wife, these things are important. And just as surely as our society has become to tolerate things that kick against this and fight against it, that's just that much further. Our society's gone down the drain and away from God's way of doing things. And all the more need we need to preach it. And if even this morning, my good sisters in Christ tend to feel like this is a little imposing, it's not because truth has been taught you. It's because you either have a wrong concept of it or you yourself departed from it. Now, she can excel in this area. She has no reason to fear any usurper, for she is safe and secure. And any husband that doesn't want his wife to be this kind of wife and mother, something's wrong with his own thinking. God gave woman the power to influence. We've seen the powerful influence of the fall of man Wars have been won and lost, marriages made and broken, happiness gained and lost, and all through the influence of a woman. Adam knew God had forbidden this fruit to him, to both of them. Yet he allowed the woman he loved to lead him into sin. That's the reason the Bible talks about a wife who is a Christian, that by her chaste conduct, she can cause him to see what it is to be a Christian and all that Christianity is. Yes, woman was created pure and lovely and perfect. And God gave her a sphere of life and influence that she was especially suited for. But he also made her a free agent. And thus she chose to do things contrary to the will of heaven, even as man can and has. Eve presents to woman the challenge of accepting her failure as woman's schoolteacher. Will you allow it to happen to you? We as heads of the race, if you please, we must not allow anything, no matter how dear our wives are to us, to cause us to abdicate the responsibilities God's placed upon our shoulders and should never be placed upon a woman's shoulders. These things are said from the heart, as I trust you know all the things I try to say are. The reasons behind doing what we do. All I ask is that you go to the Bible, if you don't believe what I said, and read it for yourself. Because it'll face every one of us on the day of judgment. If you're not a child of God this morning, then we're here calling you back to the new things the way God says it ought to be done. That's all I can do. I'm just authorized to preach the Word. I'm not authorized to tell you what I think or my particular likes and dislikes. Because I might change things if it's just my likes and dislikes. But I'm here to call you back according to the divine pattern of the Bible. Whether it's this regarding man and woman, the home, or government, or whatever it might be. It should be a thus saith the Lord, and that should be your desire. If you're not a Christian, then I can direct you to the Word of God regarding what it is and how it is that you gain remission of sins, whereby you can be reconciled to God, stand justified before Him, and leave this building this morning saved with the expectation of heaven when you die. You must, on the basis of the truth of the New Testament, believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24. You must then repent of your sins, that is, a breaking down of your old stubborn, rebellious will, and turn to God through Christ and the gospel, believing and determined from henceforth to walk according to His divine precepts, Acts 17 and verse number 30. Then standing before men to confess your faith in Him, Romans 10 and verse 10. And then to be immersed in water by the authority of Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to obtain the remission of sins. Acts 2:38, Romans 6, 3 and 4, 1 Peter 3, verse 21, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, and so on. The Lord has promised that if you from the heart do that, Luke 8, verse 15, He will add you to His church, the family of God, having been born of water and the Spirit, to walk the straight and narrow way of divine truth that leads to eternity, and the glory God has for those who live in rebellion to the world and in service to Him. I would say this, if you want to be a rebel, rebel against the world, and do homage to the King of kings and Lord of lords. And humble obedience to His will. If as a child of God you've wandered, the Word of God has not guided you as it should, as you intended, you've let it slip. We're in the land of beginning again. You can repent of those sins. Come praying and God will hear as we pray with you and for you. And the end of sermon is the greatest thing I know to end it this way. God will forgive you of your sins. And once again, you can go to heaven as a forgiven person. You're subject to the blessed call of the gospel of Christ. We offer it to you while together we stand and sing.